Good morning. This is Leading Age DC, Leading Age Maryland, Leading Age Ohio, Leading Age Virginia. Tuesday Stand Up. Today we have Christy Yoski from Health Pro Heritage, who's going to talk about phase two prep for the baseline care plan. Christy, take it away.
Thank you so much for having me this morning. I know there are a lot of requirements within the rules of participation, and today's focus is really going to be care plans with person-centered care focus. We're going to hit phase two prep for the baseline care plan, and then briefly talk a little bit about the comprehensive care plan and what that means to you all, some of the survey readiness for these two processes, and then how some communities are actually implementing these processes as well. So if we start off with the 48-hour baseline care plan or care plans in general, there is a specific intent and purpose that CMS has put forth, and that's to develop a baseline care plan within 48 hours of admission for the direct care team, while a comprehensive care plan is later developed that incorporates the residents' goals, preferences, and services that are to be furnished to attain or maintain the residents' highest practical physical, mental, and psychosocial well-being. So that's the brief kind of broad spectrum overview. It's really to have and ensure a smooth transition of care and have some type of initial set of orders and plans to move that patient care forward. So it is a new requirement, and it is to be implemented in phase two, which we know that phase two starts November 28th, 2017. So that's right around the corner this fall. And the 48-hour baseline care plan is really just simply an initial set of instructions to facilitate that smooth transition of care to provide effective person-centered care starting at admission. And we know that this is important, and that's why we're really talking about it today on this call. It does affect a lot of our preferred provider and strategic partnerships. Discharge planning is key, and if we don't start that from admission, we may lose out on some of the potential length of stay or readmission mitigation that we've been talking about for so long over the last couple of years. So this baseline care plan, if you're not doing it already, it will help you kind of move that forward. And there are really six key minimum requirements for the 48-hour baseline care plan, and I'm going to go through those very briefly. You need to have an initial goal or goals based on the admissions orders, have all physicians' orders, including medications and administration schedules for those medications, all dietary orders, therapy services, social services, and then any PASAR recommendations if the PASAR has been completed. What CMS does say in the final rule, in the rules of participation, is that your 48-hour baseline care plan could be replaced by the comprehensive care plan if that comprehensive care plan is done within 48 hours of admission. Keeping in mind that 48 hours does not mean they come in on a Friday, you can do it on Monday. It's 48 hours with no regards to weekends and holidays. So that has to be taken into consideration as well. And when you're looking at developing a baseline care plan, there's a couple of things you need to ask yourself. How are you going to change your current processes in your center to implement that 48-hour baseline care plan for each resident? So it's each new admission or readmission. If they've been in the community for a long time, there's no new admission, it's not necessary. But if they are Part A, Part B, Medicaid, private pay, short-term to home, assisted living, long-term care, doesn't matter. It's going to be all newly admitted residents. And one thing that I want to point out is that CMS did release the SNF survey process, and I'm going to review from the general critical element pathway the questions that those surveyors need to answer themselves along with the F tags. So from the critical element decisions that need to be made during a survey, number two on the general critical element pathway says, for newly admitted residents, and if applicable, based on the concerns under investigation, did the facility develop and implement a baseline care plan within 48 hours of admission that included the minimum healthcare information necessary to properly care for the immediate needs of the resident? Second part of that is, did the resident and resident representative receive a written summary of the baseline care plan that he or she was able to understand? If no, cite F655. Site NA, if the resident did not have an admission since the previous survey or the care or service was not necessary to be included in the baseline care plan. And this is really throughout the survey process. It goes deep into the death critical element pathway, the pain, physical restraints, pressure ulcers, specialized rehab, or restorative, respiratory, hydration, physician, and hospitalization. So all the different critical pathways, it asks the exact same question. So you can see how that baseline care plan is extremely important. And then you need to make sure that you have the resident and their representative that actually receive the initial goals of the resident, a summary of the medications and dietary instructions, and any services and treatment to be administered by the facility or personnel acting on the on behalf of the facility. So not only do you have to have that baseline care plan completed and meet those minimum requirements, but then you also have to provide a summary to the resident and the resident representative. So in speaking with some of our clients, we are hearing that they are working with their electronic medical record providers like Point Click Care, Matrix, AOD, and entering what they call a user-defined assessment into that EMR system. And it's really allowing them to get these minimum six key elements from their initial admission nursing assessment, and it feeds into that baseline care plan. So it's sort of a direct feed based on the orders, medications, the initial goals, and all of that. And then they're also requesting that the EMR provide them with a summary that they can give to the resident resident representative. So those are all things that you have to consider in prep for phase two. It's a large portion because it's very important that we have this in place. We know that surveyors are being trained on that. We know that it's a part of the survey process. So we know that we're going to be this process will be looked at really immediately after 11/28/2017 in any survey, among other requirements for the rules of participation in phase two. But I think this is one of the most important that we have in place and that we have right. All of them are just as important, but this one for today. Just to review very quickly, the comprehensive care plan, this was a phase one requirement. So we've always had to do a comprehensive care plan. They've added this into the rules of participation, and they've really structured it around some of the resident rights. So I'm going to go through that. And the requirement is really to develop and implement a comprehensive person-centered care plan for each resident consistent with the resident rights set forth in rules of participation section 483.10C, which I'll go through. And this comprehensive care plan has to include measurable objectives and timeframes to meet the resident's needs. That's medical, nursing, mental, psychosocial, as identified from the comprehensive assessment. And it really needs to describe at a high level those services to be provided, as well as the resident's goals and preferences, and that's key here. You have to include a summary of the resident's strengths, goals, desired outcomes, life history, personal and cultural preferences, PASAR findings, and specialized services needed. The other piece to this, which is huge, is including discharge planning elements and discharge plans as appropriate. Having the resident's preference for future discharge and their desire to return to the community will be key, so hearing directly from the resident. Providing the resident and resident representative any referrals to local contact agencies or other entities, as well as updates in response to inform those entities. The comprehensive care plan are services that would otherwise have been provided to the resident if the resident exercised the right to refuse, and it must be developed within 7 days after the completion of the comprehensive resident assessment. So oftentimes, if your comprehensive assessment is done on day 8 with a 5-day, you're looking at around day 15. That may be too late. So we do have some of our clients looking at that 48-hour care plan upon admission, providing the summary, and then either doing a 3-day meeting with the resident and resident representative as a piece of that discharge planning or comprehensive care plan early. So some sites are not necessarily doing the comprehensive care plan in place of the baseline. They're doing it a day or two later. Others are doing really day 7 or 8. So they're basically not waiting until day 15 to hit the important elements of discharge planning. So they're doing that sooner. And then we do have sites that are actually doing this comprehensive care plan in place of the baseline care plan. If they have a large short-term rehab, short-term to home census, that is something that they're finding more beneficial because then they're hitting any home assessments, caregiver education and training, getting the residents' goals and preferences really from day one to help guide that care planning process. This comprehensive care plan has to be prepared and reviewed by the interdisciplinary team, and it must now include, in addition to the attending physician, the registered nurse with responsibility, now there has to be a nurse's aide and a member of the food and nutrition services. They have to be a part of the development of, so I know it's a little vague and a lot of people ask who they need to be a part of the actual conference. They need to be involved in the process or the development of that comprehensive care plan as they see the resident on an ongoing basis. Include the resident and resident representative to the extent practicable. Document any explanation if not practicable. So keeping in mind that all residents should be involved in their comprehensive care plan and their representative, and if there's a reason one or the other cannot attend, it must be thoroughly documented and it will be reviewed upon survey. And then, of course, any time the comprehensive care plan is reviewed or revised after the comprehensive assessment and maybe on quarterly review assessments, the resident and their rep need to be involved as well and need to be kind of receiving the updates. And when I talked about the resident rights, I think this is important to review. So the comprehensive care plan is rooted in resident rights in that section 483.10C. The resident and resident rep must participate in developing the plan and be informed of the care to be provided and participate in the decision making in the language he or she can understand. Identify individuals and roles to participate, requesting meetings and revisions to the plan. Participate in establishing goals and expected outcomes of care, including duration, frequency, type, and amount. We are seeing a lot of the current process of actually talking about the length of time on program or on skilled care or in long-term or transitioning to the next level of care, so this kind of brings that to the forefront. The resident, resident rep must be informed of care options, risks, benefits, and alternatives, refuse or discontinue treatment, self-administer meds if the IDT determines clinically appropriate, be informed in advance of changes to the plans, receive the services in the plan, and review and sign off on any significant changes. Keeping in mind, the center must inform the resident of these rights and the facility of their participation, assess the strengths and goals, incorporate personal and cultural preferences, keeping in mind that this entire process is to keep it resident-centered. The resident and the resident rep have no right to receive medically unnecessary or inappropriate services. So that's kind of the brief overview, broad overview of the baseline care plan for phase two. I wanted to review that comprehensive. It should already be in place. That was part of phase one, which took place November 28, 2016. But it's important to know the key elements of both and how they work together, and the intent and the purpose of those. So having that initial care plan to immediately treat and meet the needs, that will be looked upon in the survey beginning November 28, 2017, so keep that in mind. With that, I want to open it up for any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Christy. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, and then I will unmute the line, and then folks can ask questions.